Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stupid holiday.
Oh, is the microphone on? Happy Valentine's Day, everybody! Isn't it the greatest holiday ever? Let's have a go-to-meeting.
Okay.
Go-to-meeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it. It's how you say I love you, Mama, this Valentine's Day. Get go-to-meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit go-to-meeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie.
You know what's the best way to say Happy Valentine's Day to you?
How?
By everything that we advertise
exactly.
Here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like Keith did. I just signed up for your podcast subscription. Steph, I hated the fact I could never listen to your show because I was at work. Now I can listen whenever I want. Thank you, Keith. I love you.
It's like
your only way to say Happy Valentine's Day, Mama. $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
A podcast is like a DVR for your radio.
Exactly.
You can save a program and listen to it whenever you want and pause it whenever you want and come right back to it.
Speaking of love, could I have some love music, please? Tim has posted a Valentine to me on my Facebook page.
On your Facebook page and on your website, StephanieMiller.com.
StephanieMiller.com. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this? It's very sweet. It's a picture of me in the middle. Steph, on behalf of everyone that loves you, I'd like to wish you a very happy Valentine's Day. And it's very sweet because everyone that's surrounding me, essentially on my payroll, there's you and
Hal
Rebecca.
And John.
They get paid when they fill in.
Yeah, okay.
So technically... There's Jim Ward. There's Rebecca Taylor.
Wait, where are the people who love you? I'm confused.
Surrounding me here on the Valentine. Uh-huh. Pretty much everyone on the payroll.
So you pay us to like you.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And as you know, I got Pro Flowers from.
Pro Flowers.
Pro Flowers, and I got Cherry's Berries from.
Cherry's Berries.
Cherry's Berries.
They love you.
Just me and my sponsors and the other people on my payroll to keep me warm this Valentine's Day.
I dare say you got a GoToMeeting account from GoToMeeting, too.
Indeed, I did. All right. Well, Miss, what did you and Mr. Taylor do? Tell me about your romantic friggin' Valentine's Day weekend. Go ahead, rub it in.
Well, like most couples, we celebrated Valentine's over the weekend as well, and we'll be celebrating it again today.
Terrific.
So we had dinner every night this past weekend.
Wow.
And then today we're...
That's probably unusual based on what I pay you.
He was paying.
Okay. Right, because he works at the big fancy right-wing station.
That's right.
That gets their meals catered next door.
That's right.
Sometimes offers us free food.
He brought me leftovers from Bill Handel's show.
Yeah, that's pretty much our life.
Yeah.
And then today we're going to go see that lesbian stalker movie called The Roommate.
Yeah.
Oh,
heard about
awesome.
That.
Yeah. Awesome.
He's
I couldn't even watch the promos for that. That was a little too close to home. Oh, come on.
Oh.
It was scary. I couldn't watch. You know I don't like scary movies. What?
What? Or lesbian stalkers.
What? Okay, listen. Let's move on. All right. Yes, Lydia has some questions about Mama. So, Steph comes across as a regular, everyday woman.
Huh?
She says she's a loser, a shut-in, someone that looked like an Armenian man as a child that has a unibrow. I did.
Mm-hmm.
Did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then all we hear is she's at Rob Reiner's house, a friend of Lily Tomlin, goes to big-name restaurants, political conventions. She knows John Fugel saying Hal Sparks, Easy Go Water, Aisha Tyler, Shelley Wright. Which is it? Loser or Hollywood ne'er-do-well? Well, Lydia, you can be both, you know.
Yeah.
My life is a little oddity, isn't it? It's a little bit, because what happens is I once in a while get invited to fancy things like that, and then I do something horribly socially inept, and then Rebecca has to issue a bunch of apologies, and then I don't get invited for a long time anywhere else.
You know what's sad is that you get invited to these fancy Hollywood parties, but can't find anybody to go with.
No.
You.
No. And you'd think lots of people would want to, but...
Yeah, you couldn't find a date to Rob Reiner's Super Bowl party.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm going to Rob Reiner's Oscar party, but I have to fly in the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money to go with me. I can't even, from New York, I can't even find anyone to go with me here. I know.
Bless your heart.
I know.
Steph, have you ever thought maybe it's you and not them? Maybe you're the problem?
I'm Gen Z and at 17. I just never got past the whole awkward phase. All right. My life is a little, it's a little bit of an oddity parade, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I am mostly an elderly shut-in. For instance, my Valentine's today, Max and Fred, who got the great big raw high bones because they're so handsome and romantic. Okay. Oh, she's so handsome. All right, so that's my life. That's pretty much it. Good for me.
So, tongue kissing your dogs, that will
pretty
be
pretty much.
Valentine's
box wine
today.
As usual. That's what's on the agenda for today. Mm-hmm.
The chat room at yes. The Ustream has offered to be your Valentine.
Thank you, chat. Thank you, chat room. I may take them up on that. Slate dog. Wow, this. At least I'm not this hard up. Bert in Oak Park sends along a Slate.com story. A word about Sophie B. Hawkins. Michael Steele showed up at a party, stayed a while. Right before I showed up, in an exchange witnessed by several people who described it to me, Steele met Hawkins. She explained her political philosophy to him. I'm not a conservative, said Hawkins, but I'd like to... Sarah Palin. Oh, my God. Oh. Steele reacted quickly. Well, she's very attractive. To be fly on the wall for that conversation.
Wow.
Sophie B. Damn. She wishes she was Sarah Palin's lover.
Ew.
Ew. Oh. All right. Look, another love story, this time about the president. First lady says laughter is key to togetherness. They seem to have a rather healthy marriage, don't they, Rebecca Taylor?
Yeah, you just need somebody to show up. You can't even get to the laughter part.
I just need someone to show up and pretend to be with me.
Oh.
Okay. Here's Michelle Obama's advice for couples this Valentine. Laugh with your partner. That's her advice. She says it's what she and President Obama do. I bet you they laugh their ass off at Fox News. I bet they do.
Yeah.
Bet they shoot spitballs and laugh.
Take shots every time they say socialist.
I bet they've called Glenn Beck a big tub of goo.
Well, except for when the people on Fox News says that Michelle Obama has a fat ass. Remember that from last
All right,
week?
Well, they don't laugh at that part.
No.
Yeah. Let's see. She said that's what she and President Obama do. It seems to be working their marriage going on 19 years. I think a lot of laughing. She said, I think in our house we don't take ourselves too seriously, and laughter is the best form of unity, I think, in America. I think they do. I think it's like a Mystery Science Theater when they watch Fox News at home. I think they just, you know. Oh, I got right on Glenn Beck's glasses. I'm just saying, I think there is spitball and fart jokes and laughing. That's my take.
I think the president has better things to do than to make
right.
fun of Fox News.
That's my little fantasy.
Okay.
All right. So here's the only thing that I have to keep me happy this Valentine's Day is what a crazy parade that CPAC convention was.
Holy crap.
They are in complete disarray.
All of Right Wing World Next Hour is devoted to CPAC. It's a special version of Right Wing World.
How hilariously entertaining was this? So Ron Paul won the CPAC straw poll again, mm-hmm. and once again was booed.
Yes.
Sort of like cheered and then booed. Dick Cheney got booed and called a war criminal.
Yep.
At the conservative political action. What is happening? Donald Trump got the biggest applause, and then he got booed when he said Ron Paul can't get elected.
Yeah.
It was just cattywampus all over the place. Yes, for the second consecutive year, Ron Paul breezed to victory in mm-hmm. the CPAC poll.
Oh, and Ann Coulter got booed when she said that Mitt Romney couldn't be elected.
Yes. It was just, I don't know who was getting booed. Why?
Right.
It was just crazy time. Dick Cheney's, his opening line was, sit down and shut up now. What, Rumsfeld got booed?
Mm.
The audience was very belligerent. Do you know if they serve them Bud Light there at CPAC?
Something.
Or like some NASCAR drinks?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just belligerent to everybody. I don't know what's happening this year.
I thought it was really odd because they're all coming together for one united purpose,
yeah.
but they're all heckling.
They all hate each other.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by NASCAR drinks?
You know, like Bud Light.
Like cheap beer?
Yeah, like
cheap
beer.
Swill?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes both to NASCAR and Bud Light drinkers.
Rebecca
Taylor, snooty liberal elitist.
You know what? In a pinch.
On what I pay her. You're a snooty elitist.
In a pinch, Bud Light is good.
Hmm? Yeah, if you're desperate.
Okay, so outgoing American Conservative Union Chairman David King was jeered by Paul enthusiasts as he sought to downplay the results. See, they always have to announce the results, and then they're embarrassed at the results. She said it is what it is, a straw poll, before introducing the pollster, Tony Fabrizio. Fabrizio tried to put a positive spin on the survey that the organizers are plainly embarrassed about, noting that before announcing the results, attendees agreed upon the size of government being a top priority, yet even before the pollster could disclose closed the news, someone in the audience yelled, Ron Paul! And then the congressman's supporters let out a loud cheer, while his detractors booed just as loudly. So it was like a little schizophrenic kind of, that whole thing. It was like Dick Cheney getting called a war criminal. I was like, what? Did Code Pink get in, or is this conservatives that hate him?
I think Mike Huckabee this weekend, who did not participate in CPAC, had a really good explanation of what goes on there. Each person who goes up and speaks buses their own people in.
Oh.
They pay, and so it's basically a pay to play for votes.
It's like a political NASCAR.
And, right, so Ron Paul bussed the most people in, mm-hmm. so therefore he got the most votes.
Oh,
so
well then.
Yeah.
It's all about the buses once again. We're back in Katrina with Hannity talking endlessly about the buses.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Here's the good news. The president beats all of them. If the presidential election were to happen today, Barack Obama would win 8 swing states and 1 electoral vote-giving congressional district that he won in 2008. But George Bush won in 2004. A new poll has found he would win all his matchups against 4 likely presidential candidates, Gingrich, Huckabee, Palin, and Mitt Romney. According to a public policy, whatever. All right. So that's all I have to keep me warm on Valentine's Day today.
Aww.
Yay! All right.
That's plenty, though.
17, you know, my date is the same as every year. Chris Matthews and a box of wine a little later this afternoon.
Maybe this year you can branch it out to Rachel Maddow.
Oh. Hello. Be still my heart. 17 minutes. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Oh, particularly today. 23 minutes after the hour. His rudeness, the rude pundit, coming up in just a few minutes.
Yep.
All right. All right. Oh, here's some good. Can I have my love music again? I like a happy love story. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords continuing to make amazing progress. And mm-hmm. How much do you love her husband? And, you know, like the pictures of them holding hands when she's. He's been, looks like by her side almost nonstop in the hospital. Representative Gabrielle Giffords are reporting this morning can walk while holding onto a cart, mouth the lyrics to easy songs, and have simple conversations, according to family, staff, and her doctors. Mark Kelly, her husband, said in an interview that he can ask his wife questions and she can respond. He said the communication coming back very quickly. I love this. He said she's trying so hard. Her speech therapist, who a few days ago was trying to get her to talk more, is now asking her to slow down.
That's awesome.
Typical politician. Yeah. Go on. Go on, girl. As an example, Kelly spoke of a time when the therapist had 3 cards on the table, one with a picture of George W. Bush, one with a picture of President Obama, another with an image of George Washington. Before she was asked a question, she picked up the card and held it up and said, George Bush. Kelly told Brian Williams, she's a hard worker and she's trying, she's speaking a lot, and on some level they're asking her to slow down a little bit. I love that. See? George Bush could for something. He still causes visceral reactions. Oh, George Bush! Slowly I turned! See? He's good for something. He's helping someone's recovery.
Oh. All right. Is this part of our...
In addition to being responsible for democracy breaking out all over the Mideast, as our right-wing caller said on Friday.
Can't believe that. That's going to be a thing among the right-wing.
His freedom agenda, apparently, is finally... You know how it is. It's one of those... You know how when they... it's a delayed reaction. When they hit your knee, doctor hits your knee, it's just now... Oh, okay, I just realized that freedom. George Bush wanted us to have freedom.
Freedom is breaking out in spite of George Bush going to war with Iraq.
Yes, exactly.
Not because of it.
Yeah, because it was his 17th excuse down the list
for
why we invaded Iraq. Yeah. Now this is suddenly the people in Egypt went, you know, I just realized that George Bush wants me to be free.
That was so awesome in Egypt on Friday.
Oh, wasn't it great?
I know. It happened right after we got off the air, too.
I know.
That sucks. But
I know. Oh. I know.
So happy for them.
Yeah, and Egypt's military rulers took sweeping action to dismantle the autocratic legacy of Hosni Mubarak on Sunday, dissolving parliament yesterday, suspending the constitution, promising election in moves cautiously welcomed by pro-democracy protesters. The caretaker government backed by the military said restoring security after the 18-day uprising that ousted Mubarak was a top priority. So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of awe-inspiring. It was really, what's his name? Suleiman, torture guy, Egyptian VP.
Hosni Mubarak has decided to waive the office of the President of the Republic.
And the crowd goes wild. Woo! Freebird. There was a lot of shouts of Freebird.
I don't think anybody shouted Freebird.
All right, I'm making that part up.
Yeah.
I'm like Fox News. I'm just making stuff up now.
That's their stock and trade. That's what they do. That's their bag.
By the way, I have a great question. Guess the quote for you.
Oh?
Who said, we saw all the character traits from one figure looming over the Egypt story, the massive shows of emotion, the sketchy command of others' views, the megalomaniacal refusal to recognize facts on the ground, and as always, the willingness to say and do anything to command the stage for one more day. We speak not of Hosni Mubarak, but of that other master of manipulation and misdirection, Glenn Beck. Who said that?
Lady Antebellum.
No, good guess, though.
Thank you.
No, she did not address that at the Grammys.
Well,
it was
they. It's a group.
James Rainey in a great piece in the L.A. Times.
Okay.
This week. And see what he did there?
Yes.
You thought he was talking about Mubarak, and he wasn't.
Nope.
That's Glenn Beck. Okay. What's wrong with me today?
I don't know.
All right. I'm a little punchy. It's Valentine's Day. Okay. What seemed like a joyous and hopeful turning point to most others in the media, including some of his Fox News colleagues, appeared to Beck instead as a foreboding and likely ruinous event for Egypt, the Mideast, and possibly all humanity. The author, entertainer, and one-time stand-up comedian has had many low moments in his relentless pursuit of the lowest common denominator, but this week's embrace of fear and loathing may have been the nadir. Who said that?
Arcade Fire.
No. I see what you're doing there with your Grammy theme. No, James Rainey in the L.A. Times. Another great piece about... Okay, one last guess for you. Who else won a Grammy? Okay, in the case of Egypt and its democracy movement, the Fox News performer sees not the energetic amalgam of students, shopkeepers, bureaucrats, intellectuals, and professionals who virtually every real journalist in Cairo had described in recent days. Beck's evening chalkboard talks instead, fumigate endlessly about the shadowy forces that will surely bring the coming insurrection. The menace he envisions far outstrips what that described even by other conservative commentators. Beck forecasts a wave of Muslim extremism sweeping from Egypt to the rest of the Mideast. He says this caliphate, trademark, I'm back, or at least its revolutionary soul could well darken Europe, if not our own shores. Ooh, boo. So while the rest of us this week saw young people joyously dancing in the streets of Cairo and Alexandria because they felt the world opening before them, Beck viewed the same pictures as the first steps toward a new world disorder. Who said that?
Eminem.
James Rady in the L.A. Times.
Oh.
Fine American, who also said, Beck rolled out a battalion of boogeymen. He said willfully refused to recognize his vision. The crazy lefties in the press stood first among the accused. He belittled the New York Times for one because it identified liberals, socialists, and members of the Muslim Brotherhood among the protesters, but did not recognize them as A, a mortal threat, B, part of the worldwide cabal. Notice they don't say communists yet, he intoned darkly of the Times report. Great stuff. James Rady in the L.A. Times. The rest of us in the reality-based world, very happy about what happened in Cairo. All right, Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
We don't got a problem with our drinking. It's everybody else who's got a problem with our drinking.
Damn straight.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Al in Boston. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Al.
Hello, Steph. I'm hoping I can be your official out-of-work librarian.
Absolutely.
We needed one.
I need a deeper understanding of the Dewey Decimal System. Thanks for calling.
My first interview went well. I'm just calling about the Sophie B. Hawkins liking for Sarah Palin?
Yes.
You think it'd be possible they'd offer like a pay-per-view option for the rest of us if that were to happen?
All right. Thank you for that. Yeah, I don't damn. I don't know what to say about that.
Mm,
she wants to Sarah Palin. Okay, let's get the steel wool for our mind's eye to scrub that image out.
I need that.
Oh, I forgot to tell you how even more losery my Valentine's weekend was. Guess what I did last night? Guess who I had a date with?
Who?
Myself. For the King's Speech in my living room. I got a screener copy from somebody, so I didn't even have to leave my house. So I went on a movie date with myself in my living room to see the King's Speech, which was delightful.
I've heard it's very good.
Yes. All right. Hey, it's Monday. That's fun.
Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Your rudeness.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, whatever. Oh, thank you.
Oh, sure.
You know, I go to the rudepundit.blogspot.com as I often do, and there's the first thing, Rude Pundit's Almanac. You're a book whore. Book whore.
I'll be
selling your book. That's all you're doing.
Yes. Yes, I will whore this for it's a few months. Actually, it's all about 2012. So there may be a year and a half of me whoring this book.
Okay. All right. I will buy it to say I love you this Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you had some great stuff on the Egypt, because we were saying most people in the, you know, sane community, very happy about this joyous... So you wrote, so the Rude Pundit was watching the now celebratory Egyptian uprising on CNN when he noticed that every single random protester interviewed by the news network's reporters was incredibly articulate and thoughtful in their comments on Mubarak and democracy in English, which one can presume is not their first language. And then he thought about the recent American protests, quote-unquote, the Tea Party rallies and teabag fests, and how not a single one of the average people interviewed there made a damn lick of sense in English, which one can presume is the native language of teabaggers, whereas an Egyptian in Tahrir Square generally said things about how Mubarak has demonstrably repressed the masses of citizens. A teabagger makes sputtering guttural noises that amount to blurg, Obama blurg. It's a fascinating phenomenon, and one that should probably be studied, you say, by linguists, sociologists, and stand-up comedians. Very apropos, drawing the line you drew.
Yes, yes, and it's totally, you know, it's totally unfair because, you know, they were protesting a barbaric regime and trying to bring it down, and the teabaggers were, I don't know, getting sun for the first time that year.
Yeah, it's but that's kind of sums it up. Obama blurg, Obama. That's all I could get from most of the unbridled rage we would hear from the.
Because any of their actual demands have no basis in reality. So in Egypt, it was pretty clear we just want a real democracy, and then we'll see how this plays out. And here it's we don't want you to kill our grandmothers, and then when you try to explain, well, we're not going to kill your grandmother, they call you a liar and a communist and a socialist, which is the same thing. And
right.
Yeah.
Now, it's you talk about Glenn Beck, that this we've been mentioning already on the show today. It just reached a level of insanity that even he has not heretofore. You say in the course of an hour, Beck connected Van Jones, the unionization of the TSA, the Muslim Brotherhood, and community organizers into one grand unified theory of world domination. Somehow this will bring about the apocalypse, because it just will. Apparently liberals, willing to overlook all other goals having to do with equal rights and freedom and throw in with the Islamic extremists in order to overthrow capitalism, the Rude Pundit must have missed the meeting, which I did too.
I don't know where these meetings are held because, you know, I get Van Jones's Twitter feed. So I assume that it would have been announced there.
Yeah. You think you would have been told.
Yes, or at least in our special liberal code so we would know where it is. I don't understand how it's sort of like it's sort of step one, liberals and Islamic radicals get together and fight. Step three, rule in a caliphate. And it's as if liberals are supposed to sit there and go, yeah, you know, all those women's rights that we've been fighting for all those years, if capitalism can be brought down, we can just toss those in the trash heap.
Yes, in the trash heap of history.
Yes.
You wrote one of the most entertaining posts I've seen about them trying to govern, which really has been entertaining. You write, welcome to the monkey house, GOP. Hey, GOP, welcome to your new reality. You decided to mainstream the deranged and mentally handicapped into your party and let them in Congress, and now you have to deal with the consequences of them dumbing things down for everybody. Yeah, it was a really big bag of fun back in November when, oh well, tardation was all the rage, when candidates who couldn't tell a stimulus project from a pig's ass and thought the weather's up because... Jesus had gas, won elections across a scared nation. And that is pretty, it's a pretty good summation of what happened.
Yeah, and now they have to actually sit there and deal with them. And so we get the sight of John Boehner on Meet the Press yesterday saying about whether or not getting asked, first of all, even getting asked the question, do you believe that Barack Obama is a citizen and a Christian? And to which the answer is always, I take him at his word. Not
yeah.
that it's an indisputable fact.
Yeah. It's dog whistle. It's code to the, yes. You know, you go on and keep doubting it.
And then taking it further with, but I'm not going to tell people what to believe.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you could tell people to believe things that are actually facts. It's okay.
Yep.
It's okay to say that that's the sun in the sky and not the fiery ball of doom that's going to singe your dog's hair or whatever, however crazy you want to go.
This is, let me read you one more classic Rude, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah, riling up the bloated sign scrawlers and geriatric cart riders was just so easy to do when you tell them that their jobs are being given away by a Kenyan Muslim who wipes his ass with the Constitution, when in reality, if someone were to test that skid mark, it would show Republican DNA and corporate semen on that founding document.
Wow.
Oh, Rude pundit.
Rude.
That is really...
Yeah, I tried to work in as many bodily outputs
yeah.
as I could into that sentence.
You have a way with words.
And now the governing part. Rude writes, now in the House of Representatives, filthy with the loons and mongoloids of the right, the GOP is attempting something like legislating, but lo, if you plant fruitcakes, the fruitcakes shall bear fruit. The neo-libertarians of the Tea Party actually said, to extending parts of the Patriot Act. See, Majority Leader Eric Cantor's boner's boner buddy Cantor and Speaker of the House John Look, there's Cantor on my boner. Provisions on surveillance under a anyway, but they basically the first few votes just went all cattywampus on them, didn't they?
Yeah, and isn't this interesting? It really could be just and it's kind of frightening to think about this, that maybe the progressives can go to the Tea Party members and go okay, approach them slowly, because if you
yes.
approach them suddenly they will whip out their guns and say maybe there's a couple of things we can agree on here, and you can go back and say you've accomplished some of your goals.
Yeah, Dennis Kucinich got it because he's short enough to get it under their sight lines. He just was like, hey, I was wondering if you want to vote against the pay. And he basically punked the GOP establishment.
Yeah, and that's... And also, let's not give Democrats completely off the hook here. I mean, Democrats were supporting this too. I mean, the majority of Democrats did support, or a good chunk of Democrats did support extending the Patriot Act provisions. But it went against the total sort of mainstream of the Congress right now, which is just to legitimize any kind of surveillance that the presidency wants, whether that was Bush or now Obama.
Yeah.
So, go civil liberties.
Yeah, yeah. And you write a great post about, Joe Biden obviously announcing they want to spend $53 billion on a high-speed rail system. And you say, according to your math, that works out to be roughly John Boehner's monthly Kleenex budget.
Yeah.
And you said, of course... For tears,
by
yes,
the way.
Yes, yes. Of course, immediately Republicans walked over to the idea and took a on it. It's insanity, opined Pennsylvania Congressman Bill Schuster. Yes, how dare a nation that needs to be smaller and smaller dare to even think in minor terms of how big things might be done? Insanity, indeed, you write. I mean, yeah, it really is amazing to call that insanity. Just an idea that is going to build infrastructure, bring jobs.
It's insane. It's insane because it's easier just to keep passing budgets to extend the wars and extend the wars, which cost per year as much as the 6 years that they want to spend on what they want to spend for high-speed rail. And the other fun thing is that at CPAC this weekend, they showed the preview to the new movie Atlas Shrugged.
Yes.
I saw that. Oh, my God.
What is that?
It's based on the Ayn Rand novel.
Atlas Shrugged, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's basically a commercial for high-speed rail.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all about high-speed rail and how it can transform the nation and business and all of that.
Yep.
And everybody applauded.
Oh, boy. That was just we were saying a very really cattywampus CPAC this year, wasn't it? Dick Cheney's getting called a war criminal and booed, and then Ron Paul wins the straw poll and gets cheered and booed, and
I love it. It was sort of like a stripper competition, you know, where one comes out and does a basic routine, and the next one's like, oh well, I better get rid of the thong, and then the next one comes out and like, oh well, I better spread my legs, and the next one's like, I'd better shoot ping pong balls.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they believe, that CPAC. That was Ann Coulter, of course.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
As you know, she's the Norma Desmond of the conservative.
Her targetability, amazing.
Yes, absolutely. You have to give her credit for that. Good job. All right, Rude Pundit, you are ruder than usual this week and hilarious. We will see you next Monday.
All right, bye.
There he goes, rudepundit.blogspot.com. All right, 45... Just the visual that he knows about Ann Coulter's aim with ping pong balls is okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert from Media Matters coming up after the top of the hour for a wildly entertaining right-wing world.
1-800... It's an all-CPAC edition of right-wing world. You have to hear this.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. David in Asheville on Egypt. Hi, David.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Let me see if I got this straight. America has spent 8 years, an eventual $3 trillion... the loss of 4,000 American lives, and God knows how many Iraqi lives, to almost accomplish what a group of 20-somethings did accomplish in 18 days at a loss of 300 lives and a cost of $1.95 for a magic marker.
Yeah, exactly.
Do I have that pretty well straight?
Exactly. And according to our friends on the right, George Bush is the much preferable way of getting democracy, apparently.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yep. All right. Thank you. That was a pretty good summation. Listen, I'm lousy with Sharpies. That's all. I live for my Sharpies.
Right.
So I know how much they cost. Well, actually, I had to steal them from Rebecca, but still, the point is. Let's go to Lance in Fort Worth. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lance.
Hey, Hot Stuff. I heard you were talking about Atlas Shrugged earlier.
Yes.
There's a pretty good quote going around. There are two novels that can change a bookish 14-year-old's life, Lord of the Rings and Atlas Shrugged. One is a childish fantasy that often engenders a lifelong obsession with its unbelievable heroes, leading to an emotionally stunted, socially crippled adulthood unable to deal with the real world.
Mm-hmm.
The other, of course, involves orcs.
and
speaking of orcs, Steph, you are welcome to roll my 12-sided dice anytime.
Why, thank you very much. That was, wow, he's a Lord of the Rings geek. And
great.
This is my Valentine's Day. And welcome to roll his what?
Dice. His 20-sided dice.
Mm. Okay, John and John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I just want to say that my father is a retired police officer and a veteran, and they had a big VFW convention here in Illinois. And I found out while I was house-sitting, my father got a letter in the mail from the Republican Party, and much to my chagrin, I told him promptly when I called him that I could no longer watch his house because it was unconstitutional.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Robert in Albuquerque. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Ayn Rand as well. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Much love to you all. And,
thank you.
One thing that our Randian folks, want to avoid is the fact that Ayn Rand, and she was a looker, too, by the way.
No.
She received in her... failing health, Social Security, and Medicare.
That hasn't been completely proven. I have to say that. According to a report on Fire Dog Late, it's a little-known fact that Ayn Rand herself collected Social Security, but she may also have received Medicare benefits. But that is according to one interview conducted by the Ayn Rand Institute that I can't find that interview posted anywhere. So I don't know that we can throw that out there as fact just yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what I was going by was the alternate article. But once you can prove it, please bring it forward. I would really appreciate that. And also the Egyptian folks, props to them for not only getting rid of the SOB Mubarak, but they cleaned up their mess afterwards. They were out there with brooms and whatnot.
I saw that.
They hit square and cleaning up their mess.
Yeah, they're cleaner than a Glenn Beck crowd. All right. Yeah, that's. I guess it's, because if you're, I don't know, maybe a lot of them are, what's that, obsessive compulsive something, because they're obviously, I'm just saying. So the fact that they're tidy, okay.
I'm sure there's a lot of camel poop.
Something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of unconfirmed reports, I had a UPI, the only place reporting that the Mubarak might be in a coma?
Yeah. UPI is reporting that there are unconfirmed reports that he was in a coma.
Yeah.
That he fainted twice while recording that incoherent, rambling statement.
His final, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so, yeah.
Nobody else reporting that yet, though, so we will see what's in. Yeah. All right, an Egyptian protester.
This is our today. This is our country. This is my Egypt. This is the revolution.
By the way, can I just say, and I know I've said it before, but I think the president handled this spectacularly.
Yes.
Someone was saying that in terms of the deftness of it, too, because you wanted, that's exactly what you wanted, the Egyptian people, to feel they did it themselves. That's why you don't want an American president out there, chest thumping and making demands and making it seem like he was behind that, because he clearly wasn't,
Right.
Another Egyptian protester.
What's important is what's happened to the Egyptian people and how they've changed and how they own their country and how they own their future.
I love... Going back to what that other guy said, I love how educated.
I was just going to say, they all sound like they host Masterpiece Theater.
Exactly.
Whereas Rupundit is right. The teabaggers, they mostly, it's Obama blurg.
Yeah.
Obama.
Oh, yeah, something racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a racist statement among these protesters.
All right, the president talking.
Egypt has played a pivotal role in human history for over 6,000 years. But over the last few weeks, the wheel of history turned at a blinding pace as the Egyptian people demanded their universal rights.
They were saying that, they were watching the speech on Air Force One, and, obviously, they literally, they were trying to figure out what it meant. You know, they were, like, sort of screening it and whatever, and I think, again, his statement was sort of pitch perfect.
Right.
He came back and said, this is not good enough. I mean, so clearly he was part of, I think, the final outcome. He said, it's not good enough. Because they were at first trying to figure out, like, what the hell does this mean? Remember, we were saying the same thing. Like, what? You're transferring your powers, but you're still this, but you're... And so, it was just a... How can you not watch that and be just in awe and happy for them on Friday? The president again.
This is the power of human dignity. And it could never be denied. Egyptians have inspired us, and they've done so by putting the lie to the idea that justice is best gained through violence.
George Bush. Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't mean that. That was just what popped in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Is all I'm saying. Okay, Robert Gibbs, White House
Press
Secretary.
There's much work to be done. This is the beginning of that process, not the end of it.
We were saying that obviously the military is in charge now. And so, there's of course there's going to be trepidation because no one knows. Someone was writing about that. It's perfect. That's why this story, it's so hard for television to cover because the one thing television can't say is we don't know.
Right.
The problem is nobody knows. Nobody knew how this was going to turn out. Nobody knows how it's still going to turn out. And so that's why you got people like Glenn Beck bloviating.
Well, I think the right wing stayed silent during the first part of it so that they could see what the Democrats were saying about it. And then once Democrats solidified an opinion,
we're against it.
Yeah,
then. Now we're against
it. Now they're supporting Mubarak.
Yeah, now we're for Mubarak. Scott in Knoxville on Ayn Rand as well. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I just wanted to remind you of the wonderful quote that Dorothy Parker offered when she reviewed Atlas Shrugged.
Uh-huh.
She said, and I quote, "This is not a book to be tossed aside lightly. It should be thrown with great force."
Well, you can throw it with great force because it was a heavy, heavy, thick book.
You do some damage with that sucker.
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollard from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Things are looking up this Valentine's Day. Jim Ward is here to grab my ass now, so at least I'm going to get some this Valentine's Day.
Has this already occurred?
Not yet. He will, if I ask him. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. You can send me my Valentine's.
Back up here.
Why, thank you. Call me Jiggles, won't you?
Jiggles.
Thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jiggles, grab a bat and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
He has like a pads up to the ceiling because he doesn't even need them. I just keep bringing them in so he'll touch my ass. All right, StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoyer, voice Deanie Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller.
Why does he call you Jiggles? Because with P90X, you're not that jiggly.
I don't jiggle at all.
There's nothing to jiggle.
Mm.
There's nothing there to jiggle.
Crack a walnut with
it's
that there.
Not going to happen.
All right. Let's hang
on. So Jim eats walnuts between your legs?
No. Listen, you don't need to know. And neither does Mrs. Ward. She doesn't need to know anything. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
We love him on Valentine's Day and every other day. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
So great stuff on this. You've got a former Fox insider.
Yes.
And it's shocking, I know, to all of us, but apparently it's all made up on Fox.
It's helpful to hear it from the inside, I think. I mean, what this person is able to do is just put some color on it and really explain the culture inside Fox News, where it is sort of a constant search for phony stories, particularly us versus them, our values are under siege.
Right.
And the source explained, you know, the war on Christmas is an absolute perfect example. I mean, this is a completely fabricated story that they use year after year after year because, those values have to be constantly under attack from these dark enemy forces. And once one story dies down, they need to find another one. So, you know, now it's the Muslim Brotherhood, or it's Acorn, or it's anybody. So it's helpful to understand what the mindset is within Fox News and that nothing happens by accident.
Well,
that this is the message Roger Ailes wants to send out into the world, and he doesn't care if they have to make stuff up to do it.
Well, I mean, but I think, as you say, certainly stuff that is not a shock to us, but to have someone from Fox News actually say, as you write, Fox News is run as a purely partisan operation. Virtually every news story is actively spun by the staff. Primary goal is to prop up Republicans and knock down Democrats, and that staffers at Fox News routinely operate without the slightest regard for fairness or fact-checking. Great stuff. The source says, I don't think people understand. It's an organization built and functions by intimidation and bullying. Its goal is to prop up and support Republicans and the GOP and to knock down Democrats. People tend to think stuff that's on TV is real, especially under the guise of news. You'd think people would wise up, but they don't.
Yeah, and the source also mentioned people would be surprised how concocted everything is and that it really is sort of a grand charade.
Yeah.
And the source also mentioned that the press has been way too slow in acknowledging that fact. And when the Obama White House called out Fox News as not being a legitimate news organization back in, the fall of 2009, it was embarrassing and perplexing to watch the press run to the defense of Fox News and pretend it was the White House that was out of line for daring to criticize.
State the obvious.
Quote unquote news organization. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I love the, but I love your Glenn Beck posting about when the GOP cannot control its own noise machine.
No,
you say, what happens in the case of emergency? There's no off switch that Bill Pristol and other suddenly concerned Beck critics can reach for.
Yeah.
There's no switch on the Glenn bot that they can switch off and go, you're embarrassing us.
Yeah, right. Stop. You're embarrassing us. Right. No, the supposedly serious foreign policy folks on the right, Bill Kristol and Rich Lowry and other people who take seriously about supposedly the way, the place America has in the world and foreign policy, even though these are all the people who got the Iraq war wrong. But, they watch this caliphate and nonsense and Beck claiming that on Friday, he had announced that the situation in Egypt was a disaster, and we've talked about this amazing sight of this pro-democracy, pro-reform, secularist, non-violent movement.
Yeah, it's tough to spin that, and yet, as you say, he and Rush Limbaugh, you know, just look ridiculous and on the wrong side of history. They're mocking basically these freedom fighters, and you know, trying. You're right. That's the story they're looking for. How can this be Obama's disaster? Is what they look for in every story.
How can it be their fault? And for Glenn Beck, how can it be tied into this coming insurrection on the left that America is supposed to brace itself for? This violent leftist revolution in the street. He sees a connection. Other people see it as lunacy. But right, as I point out, you know, the Republicans and the right wing movement has feasted on the GOP noise machine for years. You know, they loved it when it swift-boated John Kerry. They loved it when they call Democrats terrorist sympathizers under Bush. And they love it when they make all sorts of insinuations that Obama's a racist and a foreigner. But now suddenly, for whatever reason, they've decided this caliphate Egypt stuff has crossed the line. And of course, now they can't stop it because these are egomaniacs and they can't be stopped.
Let's dive into the it's a very CPAC-y right-wing world, so, you know, normally it's a little train of crazy, but wow, what a cattywampus CPAC it was this year, the Conservative Political Action Conference. Governor Haley Barbour, a Republican, Mississippi, it's...
The main thing is electing a Republican president next year. We can't put America on the right track until we elect a Republican president in 2012. And a Republican Senate to join the Republican House in enacting those crucial policies.
You know, I can never get past how much he sounds like Foghorn Leghorn to actually take him seriously, but...
We'll probably listen. He's, you know, he's the serious CPAC speaker this year.
Yeah, unfortunately, he didn't offer a whole bunch of crazy.
Yeah, and in comparison to where CPAC is now, I love the fact that they're torn apart because, you know, they welcomed some Muslim groups, they welcomed the gay groups, so other groups sort of stomped out in protest.
Yeah.
They had birthers speaking on the podium. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah, Ron Paul wins and gets booed as usual. Right. Dick Cheney gets called a war criminal. It was good fun all around.
I wish they could have it every weekend.
All right, Representative Alan West, oh boy, Republican of Florida.
Take this country back from the inept, from the incompetent, from the corrupt politicians that are ruining our country right now. Join me in a dream. Join me in a dream that will promote and save the future and the legacy of this great republic for our children and our grandchildren.
Was he trying to co-opt?
I have a dream today that we can get rid of the black guy in the White House. Yeah.
It's interesting. Michael Medved has a great column in the Wall Street Journal today. He's a conservative radio host. But saying, and I think West is sort of alluding to it there, this notion that Obama is not only ruining America, but he's doing it on purpose, and that he's this dark, ominous force, sort of almost like a suicide bomber. And Medved points out that argument is just absolutely insane, and it's going nowhere politically, and he can't understand why the Limbaughs and the Sarah Palins of the world are pushing it. But if you were at CPAC this weekend, that is the mainstream right-wing talking point, that Obama and Democrats want to destroy America and are working on the inside to do it. I mean, that's where their conversation is now.
Yep. Oh, goodness. Ann Coulter, who knew she was still around at CPAC?
I don't like to attack Republicans. Many of them have excellent characteristics, and they're good in the positions they're in now, and I support them in their positions as representatives or governor or Fox News host. but I think, I'll put it in a nutshell. If we don't run Chris Christie, Romney will be the nominee and we'll lose.
They're boozing amongst those that applause.
Wow. Eric, that's a perfect example of what was going on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, you know, she claims, you know, if Christie's the only one who can beat Obama. And it's funny because Christie loses New Jersey to Obama by 20 points. So it doesn't look all that promising.
No, I mean, and Donald Trump got the biggest applause.
Okay, we forgot Donald Trump.
He got the biggest applause until he said Ron Paul can't win, and then he got booed. Oh, man. All right. John Bolton at CPAC.
Our strategic relationship with Israel, our concern for our own economic
stability given the amount of oil and natural gas that royal families running regimes in the Middle East produce. These are not hypothetical or abstract. These have a direct connection to our daily life, to our hope for economic recovery. But we have a president in office who doesn't seem to understand what these connections are, which is not hard to understand. I don't think the president cares that much about foreign affairs. I think it gets in the way of nationalizing our health care system, which is what his real priority is.
No. Wow. And if there was a president, John Bolton, pretty much Bob Moran is the only thing on the calendar. You know. Eric, oops. Did we lose Eric?
There
you are. Hi, Eric Boulder. Go ahead.
But it's interesting, again, I mean, Bolton sort of sounds like the wise man compared to Frank Gaffney, who was roaming the halls at CPAC and talking about how the Muslim Brotherhood had infiltrated CPAC. And, you know, Gaffney, so again, it's so weird. Bolton is sort of, you know, comes across as almost sane when he's talking about foreign policy. It just goes to show you how far to the right, you know, they have shifted.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric Boulder, remain in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World after this, 17 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I thought I was phlegmy.
Wow. Jim, are you okay? 23.
Ew.
Sexy. 23 minutes after the hour, Eric Boulard rejoined us for Media Matters to finish up our right-wing world. Oh, heavens, must we? Andrew Breitbart at CPAC. Sorry, yeah. Eric.
I got all the content I need to show these We Are the Left, Ask Us Why. I found out why, and they're not, I don't know, they're not American. I'm sorry, they're animals. And they're being organized by the president to intimidate the mass from shutting up, to shut up.
What? Wow. What the hell left-wing protesters are animals.
Right. So much for civility.
Yeah.
Andrew should use notes, I think, in the future.
Yeah, that was a rambling, incoherent speech.
Wow. And he completely forgot to talk about his much-hyped Pigford investigation. But yeah, no, he loves to talk about how he goes to these protests and he outwits all these liberals and he shows them for what they really are, apparently animals, but I don't know.
Yeah, wow.
It seems sort of like a waste of time if that's, you know, he runs a site that is just feasting on hate,
mm-hmm.
and then he goes to you know, rallies and says, "Oh gosh, they're so mean. They chant things. It's just sort of
yeah, they're yelling things at me." All right, and Stephen Crowder, the MC. How does one get that honor at CPAC?
I do think it's necessary to acknowledge the gay elephant in the room, so to speak. We're not going to act like it's not happening. I know some folks have been upset with Go Proud's involvement. Listen, whether you agree with the politics of these particular groups or not, I think it's a great thing to allow people of different stripes, colors, and shapes to be included. That being said, gayness is still funny.
Wow. So that was...
They almost got to the right point.
Yeah.
So then they had to use it as a punchline.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, again, it was funny, you know, they're having these mass walkouts and people boycotting and politicians won't show up. Why? Because, you know, there are gay people in the hallways.
Yeah, it was a really a highly entertaining CPAC, if you ask me. Oh, now, Eric, before you go, I love when, what do you call it? I think it was Think Progress followed up on, you know, you Media Matters reported about this former Fox insider.
Yes.
And I love this. Think Progress ran into Fox News ambusher-in-chief Jesse Waters.
Right.
At CPAC. And I wanted to know what he thought about Media Matters report. Waters wouldn't comment. Instead, he tried to divert the issue by attempting to belittle Think Progress's ambush skills.
Right.
He said, "You're a little kind of JV, junior varsity." Right.
He doesn't like being ambushed, but more importantly, he would not answer the very simple question: do people at Fox News just make stuff up? And for some reason, Jesse Waters could not come up with an answer to that question. I thought it was very revealing.
Yeah. The only comment he had was, "Watch my blazer, bro." Because they apparently someone touched his jacket. They still call it a blazer, really?
Yeah.
The young Republicans do.
Yeah. All right. Eric Bollert from Media Matters. See you next week, sir.
All right. Talk to you.
All right. There he goes. Don't tase my blazer, bro. Ray in Illinois on Fox News. Hi, Ray. Welcome. Hello,
Hi,
Ray.
Did you, you know, how this, with what Eric was talking before about how Fox doesn't do anything accidentally, you know, for years now we've been hearing about Obama being a Chicago politician and Chicago politics. And then we have ISA talking about being the most corrupt president ever. And what Fox do? They just launched a new series coming up on the Fox network about corruption in Chicago.
Oh.
And justified. The guy who's corrupt is a black man.
Of course. Of course. It's
what
the scary black person video that they have that file footage at Fox News.
I can't help but wonder if they, it, you know, I went, as soon as I saw it, you got to be kidding me, because I live in Chicago, and it's not as bad as people make it out to be. And yet, here's the, on top of it, the black guy is going to be the corrupt one.
Yeah.
I can't help but think that that's in line with their theme. So.
Right. No, that's a good point. You know, I mean, we focus so much on how Fox is just is so egregious in so many ways, but I think people don't focus enough on how racist they are. I mean, they literally do. They must have this huge vault, Chris, right? Like, someone run down to the scary black man vault and get some file footage for this story.
Why don't we have a scary white man vault here?
I don't know. Tim in Richmond, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Steph. I've got a son who's in high school. He's a high school sophomore, and in his literature class, they're reading Atlas Shrugged right now.
Oh, my God. Is literature?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's on the American Library Association recommended books for high school, and that's fine and everything. But in our cash-strapped system, which is run by teabaggers who keep dropping the real estate tax, they're given copies by the Ayn Rand Institute.
Trying to indoctrinate them.
Yep. So that's what he's reading right now, his copies from the Ayn Rand Institute.
Then they should be forced to read Voltaire and Jonathan Swift to balance it out.
I object to that. Get it? Objectivism.
Mary in Florida. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi there. I just thought it would be appropriate if the two baggers had their headquarters at the Harry Ball Center.
Come on now. It's not being called. They're not slapping Harry Balls on that building.
No.
They're just not. Mary, you little trollop.
It's the Hirsute Testicles building now.
Is that what they're calling
it? Yes.
They landed on a name. Good.
Right.
Good.
Yes.
I'm not sure they'll be able to spell it. But.
Oh, look at this. In a totally unrelated story, former talk show host Mike Pence, Republican of Illinois, he's filing a Broadcaster Freedom Act in the U.S. House. The bill would make reinstituting the Fairness Doctrine illegal. He's the one I did that panel on the Fairness Doctrine with Roger Hedgehog.
What am I doing?
Excuse me?
Huh? What?
Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, excuse me. I always get that wrong.
Yeah.
He's also a former mayor, like Harry Balls.
Yeah, what if he works in the Harry Balls building?
Roger Hedge?
Cock.
Yes. No, he's also a former mayor of San Diego. Seriously.
He is.
So don't worry. Radio will remain fair. There will be thousands and billions upon billions of right-wing stations. And
five liberal stations.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Good. Fair. That's fair. President of the National Education Association, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I hope I look half as good as you when I give up.
I gave up long ago. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are joined now by Dennis Van Roekel. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's president of the National Education Association. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning.
I want to, you know, we've been talking, obviously, ever since the President of the State of the Union, when he talked about, you know, the place where, you know, our American kids are, and whether it's reading or math or whatever, and about winning, you know, the science fair, not just the Super Bowl. We've been talking about education, and I want you to tell us about what you have coming up. You have a conference coming up.
Yes, there's a labor management conference sponsored by the Department of Education, along with NEA and AFT and other organizations, and it's a real opportunity to share ideas among union and district leaders about how we can work together to improve things for students and allow them to succeed. About 150 teams of administrators, school board members, and local teacher union members are coming to Denver to talk about to learn from ones that have already started this process and hopefully to build enthusiasm to go forward and use this collaboration to help students succeed.
Right. Well, you know, I think that that's such a great idea because there's so much, you know, in terms of politics, it just always continues, doesn't it? They like to pit people against the teachers' unions and, you know, you have the Rand Pauls of the world that would like to destroy the Department of Education entirely. You know, but when we're where we are, you know, worldwide in math and science and reading, as I was saying, it really should be beyond politics, shouldn't it? It really should be about how do we actually all help our kids.
Absolutely. You know, responsibility needs to be shared. And what we ought to focus and center on are the needs of students and the obstacles that keep them from succeeding or to being able to meet their dreams. So I think it's a responsibility and obligation of all of the adults who work in public schools and the policymakers that obviously make the decisions that impact that, to stand together and to say, let's talk, let's sit down at a table and figure out what we need to do to change what's happening to students. Because the way it is right now is not the way it ought to be.
Well, you know, let's talk turkey here. Why do you think we're at the place we're at? And what are some of the strategies you're trying to use to boost student achievement?
Well, there are a lot of different strategies, but I think one of the things that will come out of this conference is that you can't just look at the activities that a district that is succeeding does. What we have to also understand is what's necessary in order to bring those groups to the table. I mean, it's not just the ones who are coming to this conference who are using collaboration, but there are some that are not. And we need to encourage them to, and really believe that if coming together at the table, that's when you solve the problems. The problems won't go away, but you solve them in a different way, and that's what makes it right for students. So I think they're going to learn specific activities that some are doing, but more importantly, they're going to hear, what did you have to do to bring these groups together and focus on the success of students?
Well, you know, there was a story that caught our eye because, of course, in the, you know, run-up to the Super Bowl fever, that I couldn't help but say, you know, is this one of the symptoms of what's wrong? Is there's a high school in Texas spending, I believe it's $60 million. You know, as you know, there's Texas in a bad place, as most states are. You know, cutbacks in education, yada, yada. They're spending $60 million to build a high school football stadium for 18,000 people. You know, and you have to wonder, what does that mean? You know, when a lot of people on the right scream that teachers are paid too much. I mean, how do we get our priorities back in line?
Oh, I so agree with you. And, you know, one of the things that I think the dialogue, the conversation that we have to have is public education obviously has been here for a long, long time. And I think if we asked what its purpose was, say, in 1950, post-World War II, and what we wanted the public education system to achieve, it did that absolutely extremely well. Now I think the discussion we have to ask is in 2011 beyond, what do we need a public education system to accomplish for America right now? And then it's about the adults sitting down to make that happen together.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Dennis, you point out that, I mean, again, instead of pitting ourselves against each other, you know, you make a point that no one understands the problem facing America's schools as acutely as the teachers who are there. And rather than making them the enemy, you know, how do we all work together? I mean, I think that there's things that get thrown out politically that nobody likes bad teachers. I'm sure the teachers' union doesn't like bad teachers.
Absolutely,
you know?
Not. And right. I thought, you know, all of the discussion about how we dismiss and fair dismissal laws, the real point, if you want it in the best interests of students, number one, no one who's incompetent should be in the classroom. And number two, you don't want any good teacher removed because of a faulty system. So it's in the best interest of everyone that you make that system fair, effective, and efficient.
So what do you hope that you come out of this conference with? It's February 15th, 16th, correct? That's tomorrow and Wednesday in Denver. What do you hope to get out of these talks?
Number one, what I hope comes out of this conference is, one, maybe a redirection of the conversation to stop pointing fingers and blame and actually highlight, here are 150 districts around the country who collectively educate more than 4 million kids, who are saying, what we're going to do instead of blaming and finger-pointing, we're going to come together and talk about how to change the system so students succeed. Secondly, I hope what happens is the participants go home and build their own teams and build that conversation with parents in the community, and they say, let's do it right for students in our town, too.
You know, I remember out here in California, Governor Schwarzenegger calling teachers special interest didn't really go very well for him, you know, and I remember doing some of those rallies, and, you know, the teachers had signs saying, you know, our special interest is your children. I mean, to sort of imply that teachers are just in it for the money.
And
all the money and glory, you know.
Yeah, right. And what pains me so is when you talk to the individuals who are dealing with students, especially right now in the toughest of circumstances, kids who their mom and dad have lost jobs and they're living in a car, and it's a hard time right now for so many of Americans who lost their home, lost jobs, and their kids are coming to our schools. And when they attack the very people who just give everything they can every single day and then are somehow pointed out as the blame, it just hurts inside. I said to someone the other day, name another occupation where the employees use their own money to bring toilet paper and paper towels.
Yeah,
to
and
work.
School supplies. No, I have a friend as a teacher, and I couldn't believe that. I'm like, you have to buy your own stuff, really, on what you're paid?
That's
I know.
Not the way it ought to be.
I know. Dennis Van Roekel, president of the National Education Association. Have a great conference in Denver.
All right. Thanks very much.
We'll talk again soon.
You betcha.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. He's in Denver, sitting by the bank. Woo! We love you, Denver. All right.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
I learned that in Catholic school, that Denver's by the Bay. Mm. Okay.
Wow.
See, if I'd gone to public school, I might have done better.
Is that where the Fox map makers studied?
Yeah.
Yes. In Denver, city by the Bay.
Mm-hmm. We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
Mm-hmm.
All Egypt, right. The country overlaying what used to be Iraq.
Sure.
According to Fox News.
Speaking of Egypt, Edward Walker, the former U.S. ambassador to Egypt.
The whole environment is changing from a set of countries which where the ruler has been sort of the father of the nation, as Mubarak called himself, to a system in which the people are the voice of the nation.
Jim, I got the memo. I got the liberal memo that Glenn Beck warned about for the caliphate. Where are you know what?
What are we supposed to do
for this? What our
next
plan is with the Muslim? Well, you know our weekly meetings with the Muslim Brotherhood.
You can't spell California without caliph.
Huh?
But it's I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But California's with an F and caliphate is with a P.
It's on the point.
All right, all right.
This is where the nerve center is of the liberal Muslim Brotherhood caliphate. That's
yes.
Okay, this is where we're spreading next. Mm-hmm. Five Arab countries that the Jasmine Revolution may spread to next. Many wondering if the pro-democracy movement that swept Tunisia and Egypt will spread throughout the rest of the Arab world. Think Progress assembled a short list of other autocratic regimes in the region that are facing protests, particularly after the that may next be in the Middle East Jasmine Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean Seals and Crofts will be at the head of the?
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
Jasmine.
Algeria, Bahrain, Jordan, Syria, and Yemen is where they were, what you call it?
East and west and north and south?
Yeah, we know where they are, the next caliphate. Oh, Joe Biden on talking about Iran.
Let your people speak. Release your people from jail. Let them have a voice.
All right. Marion Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our education discussion. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. I'm calling because our state Governor Scott Walker has just let loose a bomb on Friday that he plans to help reduce the deficit in Wisconsin by attacking the teachers union and the public state workers unions. And what he's trying to do is pass through legislation at a record pace by trying to get it voted on Thursday, and he just notified the public of this on Friday afternoon, trying to avoid any chance for any of the unions and public workers to, hoping that they won't be able to rally enough people to stop this. What they're trying to do is paint the picture that the teachers and public sector workers have had it very easy.
Yeah,
it's the welfare queens in Cadillacs.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't, Mary, don't worry. You can probably get a job on that new high-speed rail
Right.
You canceled that too. Okay.
Do we have an opening here on the Stephanie Miller Show staff?
No.
Computer says no.
Rally employees, but they have, the unions have been able to gather some momentum. And what we're asking for is just to have a place at the table to even get into the discussion. I mean, he's not even offering discussion on different ways to remedy the state deficit.
Wow. How's that new bipartisan era of civility working out for us all?
I know. So he's you know, setting himself up, as well as other Republicans that support him, is really like a dictator. This is what we're going to do, and you don't get a say in the process, and good luck. And
it's almost like a right-wing caliphate of some sort.
Well, and you know, the thing that I really believe is that he's doing this as a means to prepare himself for a national stage, to gain himself a reputation as being a union buster, being hard on spending, and not really realizing the consequences of the everyday person. You know, nobody goes into teaching for the money. My husband's a chemical engineer, and he's been a teacher for 24 years at a high school level. He's been president of the union here, and he works his ass off, pardon my language, but he just...
I hear you. No, I know when they...
How long has he been a communist?
Yeah. I know. I mean, that's the thing. I love when I go speak to unions. It's like they're the greatest people I've ever met. And you kind of go, they're people. They're, you know, our teachers and cops, and they're not... It's like they always make it this scary. Ooh, it's union.
They're the ones hoarding all the money.
Union. Yep, they're regular Americans, regular hardworking Americans.
That's where all the big money is going.
Yeah,
no, don't
teaching.
Look at Wall Street. No,
there you go.
Those teachers, those greedy cops and firemen.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
New. 51 minutes after the hour. Minutes from Mondays with McClurg, the delightful Edie McClurg joins us live in the studio. Let's go to Stephanie and Madison on the education situation. Hello, Steph.
Yeah. Education, there's just everything Scott Walker puts his little finger on. It just turns into nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's every time he opens his mouth, I think an angel loses their wings. But we're not going to take – we need – I know it was bad, but – you know, we're not, we want your song, the we're not going to take it. I mean, this guy is just, I want everybody in Wisconsin to come around the Capitol. We're going to have protests and rallies, and we have to speak out. Come on.
Yeah, I get more mail from Wisconsin. Please help us. It's, I mean, it really, you know, I'm losing Russ Feingold and getting Walker, and I know it's just been depressing what's going on.
But there are so many great people, at least in Madison, and I live in Madison, and we know how to protest, and we know how to march, and we know how to rally.
And more importantly, you know how to drink, because God bless you.
We do that, too, and we need you back here, stuff, to make us laugh.
All right.
Come back to the Barrymore.
Would love to. I would love to, honey. All right, thanks, Steph. Michael and Joyzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, it's my mate from the chat room. Hey, it's the chat room. How you doing? I was just wondering to know why Republicans hate children. The great Republican of New Jersey.
Love the fetus, hate the child. 53 after.
I was just wondering. I know a teacher in New Jersey. He gets health care through the state. But the great governor of New Jersey decided that if your child is not on the tax return, you cannot claim your child for New Jersey health system. But because of a divorce settlement, his daughter is not on his tax return, so she has no health care.
Wow.
10-year-old little girl does not have health care.
She'll
probably grow up to be a liberal commie anyway.
Oh, Jim.
Hey, we're speaking of the irregular folk we've been talking about. After months of working on anything but jobs legislation, Republican lawmakers got an opportunity to actually address the crisis. So the Trade Assistance Adjustment Program and the health care tax credit will expire. TAA helps retrain and reemploy workers who've lost their jobs due to foreign trade.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Anyone have that problem? No.
So why is Jeff Immelt part of the administration?
HCTC provides compensation to help unemployed workers and avoid private health insurance. While 72% of Americans oppose cutting such critical unemployment assistance, the GOP is seemingly insistent that it expire. Sherrod Brown, offended by the apparent GOP hypocrisy and enjoying taxpayer-funded benefits while refusing to aid those who don't dress like this every day and don't make $170,000 a year, he blasted senators for turning our backs on the American worker. Good for him. I love him. Oh, all right. Let's go to Anna in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good, good. I know we've had a lot of calls from Madison. You know, what's going on here is really serious. I think it's really important to watch what's going on in the next few days here, because if goes Wisconsin, goes the rest of the country. And the funny thing is, you might not know, is, you know, Walker's attacking public service unions and teachers. However, it's not going to be towards firefighters and police. And for our fellow brothers in the firefighters and police unions, if you think you're out of this, they're getting to you next.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this is, you know, this is serious stuff.
Yeah,
and, thanks for taking our calls. And
You're welcome.
We really want you back here. We
Aww.
Love you.
I would love to come. I would love to come back anywhere they drink at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, my kind of town. Jim and I've been there.
Mm.
Jim's been there wearing a cheese foam cheese hat, drinking beer at 8 a.m.
The sun's up. Want a beer?
Mark, particularly now that Walker's governor.
Yeah.
Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark.
Hey, I wanted to reiterate that that's a serious situation. Walker is like a little cuckoo.
Yeah.
He wants to eliminate all collective bargaining except for salaries, and he already contacted the National Guard to say, watch it.
Wow.
People might. You got to look it up. You got to get Chris on it.
It's
crazy.
We really elected some winners. Every time I see that, what's his name, Rick Scott, I'm like, isn't he just a complete crook they just elected in Florida?
That's right.
And everybody's like,
yes, he is.
Florida.
All right.
That's what they do.
Bethany in Chicago. Hi, Bethany.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I was so offended this weekend with their Team America pack. This Tom Credo.
Tom Tancredo, yeah.
And he's just so offensive. And they need a 15-year-old boy to give them advice on what to name things, because Team America was that puppet movie.
South Park, right, exactly.
America,
Karen.
Bleep, yeah.
Yeah, Karen in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to, caller from San Francisco just briefly explain exactly what's going on, but the budget repair bill in Madison that they're attempting to pass, the legislature now is both Republican majority in the state and assembly, so it has very high likelihood of passing, but it's going to remove all collective bargaining, essentially, rights from the state of Wisconsin, 175,000 employees.
Mm.
The state of Wisconsin was the first state to pass legislation for collective bargaining. It was the first state to pass legislation for employment compensation and the first state to pass legislation for unemployment comp. And Walker comes in, and now he is just taking collective bargaining totally away from all of public employees except for the police and fire, which some of those unions in Milwaukee supported his campaign.
Uh-huh.
So
yep.
It really is serious. And now the governor in Indiana, and, of course, we know about Governor Christie in New Jersey, they're talking about the same thing with attacking the unions and the pension plans, and it's got to stop.
Yeah, I agree.
Sounds
right,
like
Karen.
Walker wants to reinstate the German-American Bund, which is centered in Wisconsin because of all that.
Well, it's really scary that he's, you know, told the National Guard to be on guard
in case there's
union unrest.
Right. Unless people try to exercise their right to assembly.
Right.
Doesn't somebody in Craigslist have a shirtless photo of him somewhere? Come on, somebody. Come on. 58 minutes after the hour. Monday. Oh, I have a great Oprah story. And Mondays with McClure next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Valentine's Day. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, here's something to cheer me up.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, slugs, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
She's the righteous dudette.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Aw, somebody, a listener, was it Tim? Chris, Tim put a lovely Valentine. Jim, do you see that? There's a Valentine to Mama. It's Happy Valentine's Day from all the people that love me, and all the people pretty much are on my payroll. There's Jim and Chris and Rebecca, and that's pretty much it. And I don't even pay you, but
no,
you're on there.
No, I'm not even on the payroll. But you love me.
I love you
but
back.
But you love me. And yes. I'm wearing my gentleman caller jewelry.
Fabulous.
Just to remind me that he likes me. Aww. He likes me a lot.
Fabulous. Oh, well, however, this is the good news. I did not win. Snooki won a worst Valentine's date. I believe they did a poll of, who is it, Chris? Oh, the OMG Yahoo users.
So you're not the worst date?
No. They did the poll of worst Valentine's Day celebrity escorts, according to New York Daily News. Snooki is number one. Paris Hilton is second.
Wow.
So at least I didn't make that.
Although Paris Hilton has demonstrated a certain skill in certain movies.
Yes.
Mm. Well.
It would be her Valentine, so to speak, wouldn't you, Joe?
Early in the morning to think about.
Problem with
Snooki like
is you can never be sure if it's really Bobby Moynihan from SNL.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So hard to tell them apart.
Hey, guess what we won? California is America's most miserable state.
Woo-hoo. Who says we're miserable?
I don't know. I love L.A.
Yeah, but they're pulling, like, all the cities.
I love it.
Eastern.
The governor exited office last month with the state facing a crippling checklist of problems, including a massive budget deficit, high unemployment, plunging home prices, rampant crime, sky-high taxes. Schwarzenegger's approval rating hits
22%.
Record low for any sitting governor. Thank you, Arnold. Get back in the chopper now. Thanks for everything. California's trouble helped it land 8 of the top of the 20 spots on the annual list of America's most miserable cities, with Stockton number one for the second time. 3 years. Way to go, Stockton.
Oh, I barely escaped Stockton.
Oh, you did? Oh. How did that happen?
I almost ended up working in a public radio station there.
Mm.
And
oh,
if
dear.
It hadn't been Yikes. For the world of improvisational comedy.
Saved you from Stockton?
It did.
Get doing improv, Stockton, if you're anybody's listening.
Stay near the coast. You'll be fine.
Well, they say. Actually, when they were driving me around to, you know, show me places I could live, they say, well, here would be a safe place to live.
Oh.
And it had bars and
grills. You're like, it's safe because there's bars.
And I said, well, why would I need to? Wait, they said, well, this is a farming community, and when it's not harvest time, people do steal a lot of things.
Oh, dear.
So it was just
yeah,
like,
in the just, lean non-harvest times.
Yes. So they would break in, and I said, oh, gosh. Is there anything else I can do? And then I became an unpaid improv worker.
You did? Oh, really? Yes. Just much like you are now on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
So it's magically
I've
all come full circle for
way,
you.
Baby.
Born on Stockton. That's
no,
the good news.
No,
all right.
I love it here.
All right. Oprah wants some RESPECT for the president. And listen, trust me, you do what Oprah wants. She called on President Obama's critics on Friday to show a certain level of respect. I feel everybody has a learning curve. I feel the reason why I was willing to step out for him because I believed in his integrity. I believed in his heart. I think everybody complaining ought to try it for once, she
so
said.
So we can't ever criticize him for anything.
No, she just said she would like a certain level of respect, which
well,
is like
sure.
what we've talked about, is that there is a level of disrespect that I don't remember ever seeing for the presidency. She said the presidency is a position that holds a sense of authority and governance over us all. Even if you're not in support of his policy, there needs to be a certain level of respect.
Sure, like Jim Hightower demonstrated in his article. Which
about
you probably don't want me to read.
Jim Hightower?
Oh, he's talking about Jeffrey Immelt and the whole corporate nature of the... it says, when dancing with the devil, never fool yourself into thinking you're in the lead. That'd be my 50 cents worth of advice to President Obama as he rushes ahead with a remake of his presidency into a Clinton-esque corporate enterprise. First came Bill Daley, blah, blah, blah. Then Obama tapped Jeffrey Immelt to lead his council on jobs, which is supposed to encourage the private sector to hire Americans. and invest in American competitiveness. This is a bizarre coupling for Emil, the CEO of General Electric and the leader in shipping American factories and jobs to Asia.
Must
and
you
elsewhere.
Make my Valentine's Day even worse than it already is with your constant buzz killing? That's not what she was talking about. She's talking about the level of disrespect for the president that just borders on psychosis on
yes.
the right. Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, by the way, I heard a great Oprah story. Oh, the weekend, I met someone that was on Oprah's show once. She couldn't remember what she goes. I think it was people like to eat or something. She was on and she said there was during the commercial break, there was this guy that was sitting next to it was on the show, obviously, during the commercial break, turned to Oprah and he goes, so do you get to pick the topics and stuff? And this girl looked at him and went, dude. Her name's on the show, on the building we're in. She owns this entire block. What do you think? And then he goes to Oprah. He goes, oh, you're lucky. And she goes, well, I've worked kind of hard. I just love that story. Do you get to someone tell you what to do? Do you pick these topics? Do you got anything to do with this? Or?
How'd you get your name on the building like that? Did you not put it up yourself?
Why people dissing Oprah, it just does not go well, lady.
No.
I told an inside story once, which I probably wasn't supposed to tell, but it's not this network. It's a network a long time ago.
Yeah.
But she was trying to get her library back, and so she pitched Oprah after the show, which she eventually did, and the executive actually said, well, I don't know, do you have tape? And you don't. Which would have been funny even if she didn't own the network, but she was like, there was this long pause, and she just went, well... No. I'm Oprah Winfrey. Perhaps you've seen my work.
Do you have a TV? Then you've probably seen me.
Yes. Do I have tape? Come on. That's good.
Do you have tape?
All right. Can I have some Hollywood music? We have to announce the Grammy winners, don't we? It was the big awards last
sure,
night.
Sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Jim, I still don't to this day know what's the difference between Album of the Year and Record of the Year.
Well, one I goes, presume.
One goes to the songwriter, one goes to the performer.
Okay.
I don't know any of them anyway. Okay, Album of the Year, Arcade Fire, The Suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Record of the Year, Lady Antebellum, Need You Now.
Toe-tapping.
Don't know. It's a toe-tapping one, is it?
Yes.
You don't know. Look at you. You just have a complete glassy blank stare. You don't know.
One of the lyrics in there is, it's a quarter after one, I'm a little drunk and I need you now.
Oh, I love that song.
Oh, that's it.
That's like the loser
that's
anthem.
It's a theme song.
Yeah.
It's a loser anthem.
I thought you would.
That's me on Valentine's Day.
I thought you would relate to that.
I made drunk tile everyone I ever knew today. Okay, let's see here.
They're starting to look good now, aren't
that's
they?
That's it. Right. Song of the Year, Lady Antebellum, Need You Now. I got it. It's a quarter after. Yeah, exactly. Except for me, it's a little earlier because I start drinking really early, so it's not usually
quarter
that late.
One out in the afternoon.
You know,
yes,
I've drunk
exactly.
dialed you at like quarter. 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when I'm like...
Right. For you, it's 1 p.m.
Yes.
Quarter after 1. Yes.
Right.
It's quarter after 1 in the afternoon. Yeah. And just still love me? Okay, let's see.
Well, how did all these empty bottles get here?
Are you still on my payroll?
Yes. Okay, hey, I still need Hollywood music. I'm not done. I'm doing the whole dealio here. Best pop performance. Train, Hey Soul Sister, I know that one.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Best pop collaboration with vocals, Herbie Hancock, Pink, Indiari, CEO, that's a whole bunch of them, whoever. Imagine, that's the collaboration one. Best dance recording, Rihanna, Only Girl in the World.
That's a good song.
Yeah, I don't know that one either. I just stopped after Umbrella. Ella. I don't know if that's. Best rock performance by a duo or group with vocals, The Black Keys, Tighten Up. Best rock song, Neil Young, he's still alive?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Angry
World.
He's not young anymore.
Angry World. He need to change his name. Angry World winner. Okay, and that's all the ones we care about, isn't it? I don't think we don't.
And Mick Jagger sang last night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And so did Justin Bieber, who looks like a young Rachel Maddow.
Yes, he
that's
really does.
Why there is a website. Lesbians who look like Justin
and
Bieber.
And Lady Gaga was carried into the ceremony on the red carpet in an egg. And
awesome.
she was hatched on stage.
Oh, that's beautiful. Why can we do that for my entrance every morning?
Sure.
We're on Ustream now. People can see it.
Uh-huh. And she sang the song Born This Way. You see, she was hatched out of an egg and she was born this way.
Uh-huh. What? Not since the Larry King interview have I been so confused by something Lady Gaga has done. What? And Christina Aguilera fell, I understand.
Yes.
She fell.
Yes. Off her 9-foot-tall shoes because she was the shortest diva on stage.
Yeah.
She borrowed Prince's shoes or something.
Did she remember the lyrics to her song?
Oh, dear. Adam Lambert.
The twilight's less reaming.
What? What? Creaming
Don't
the
tell us about your Saturday
Where
night.
Where did the ramparts go? What?
Oh, we're watching your ramparts.
She has ramparts?
What?
Excuse me.
Adam Lambert.
I thought that was Lady Gaga. But...
Adam Lambert has learned the same thing you learned the hard way, Chris, the dangers of drunk tweeting. He has learned the...
I wasn't drunk.
Oh, yeah, that was even worse.
I know.
There was an incident with tweeting that Chris, was there this close to...
Oh.
Not because of me. He was going to get fired by someone a lot bigger than me.
Yeah.
Adam Lambert learned the dangers of TUI, tweeting under the influence. He has admitted that drunk tweeting, not good. He has looked over some of his tweets from the past, and he could see how they were offensive. Yeah, have you ever gone in your sent file and you're like, I didn't send that. Oh, I did send it. You know, on further perusal, I've noticed that I perhaps should not. That's why God made a draft folder. Have you ever done that? There's what is the thing called, Jim? We love this idea. This the filter that you have to do a math problem.
Oh, right. Yeah. Before
you can actually hit send on an email, you have to do a complicated math program. It's some sort of, it prevents
unwise
so
sending.
Right. So if you're drunk or really bad at math, you can't send email. Yeah.
You're like, I wanted to send this important email, and I'm sober, but...
The cube root of pi divided by the... What?
He said, Lambert said you have to be careful. Newspapers will quote your tweets. Yes, good thinking. They're public. Which, when I get in my persnickety old person rant, Evie, I don't get the whole tweeting. We've had this discussion. I don't know why people want to have their personal... you know what I mean? Stuff... Everybody can read it. Like,
I tweeted a little... But it always sounds, because there's only a number of keystrokes you can do.
140.
Yes, 140 characters.
I can't distill, my pithy comments.
No, you're chatty. You're not made for Twitter.
No.
I wish Ayn Rand had limited herself to tweeting.
Exactly. All right, 18 minutes
Tweet
after the hour.
Should be hurled with great force.
18 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack and much more on Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Twenty-four minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. In the midst of another delightful Mondays with McClurg, Millie in Florida. Edie, it's for you! Hi, Millie. Go ahead.
Hey, Edie, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay.
Okay, just want to do three quick things, okay, Steph?
Yes, go ahead.
I want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day, okay?
I mean, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
My heart to you.
I saw you on Portlandia, but I don't remember you plugging it on Steph last week.
Well, they didn't tell me it was going to be on, or I would have.
Oh, okay.
That's Portlandia.
Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live and his girlfriend did a show in Portland called Portlandia.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very odd, and I played the mayor's secretary. The mayor was Kyle MacLachlan.
MacLachlan, uh-huh.
And I was his secretary. Did I run up and down the hall?
Yes, you did, twice. You were funny.
Great. I ran through and ran back trying to find the mayor.
Thank you, Millie.
And it was nice.
It's a show that's on IFC, and I'm sure they're going to be repeating it all week
Independent long. Independent film channel, so I'll
Fabulous.
Look it up.
Yeah. Okay.
By Valentine's Day is looking up. I just got a sex message from Bobby Kennedy.
What?
Bobby Kennedy and I sexed each other. Junior. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That'd be weird if it were from senior.
Yes, you seem confused.
Yeah. If it were the real...
It's a modern romance. He calls me Leslie Girl. I call him Breeder Boy. It's magic. He did. He just said Happy Valentine's Day, sunshine. Oh, from Bobby. I have a weird life, Edie. Okay. Oh, guess what? Lindsay Lohan and Kim Kardashian tweeted about Egypt because, you know, they're really...
I'm sure.
Yes. You know those came from them, Chris. They don't have anybody tweeting for them. They're foreign affairs experts. Let's see. D-listed writing. Lohan and Kardashian tweet about Egypt. Oh, please.
What did they say to
each bitches,
other?
Please. All right. Lindsay?
Yeah.
Wrote, congratulations to the people of Egypt. Your voices were heard and you proved that peaceful demonstrations are possible and effective. D-listed said Lindsay Lohan took a break from trying to pry off the security tags from the jeans she just snatched and barked at her assistants to say some about it on Twitter. All right. Oh, Kim Kardashian, you want to hear that one, Jim? Yeah, because I'd like to know her thoughts, the Kardashian thoughts. Mm-hmm. Okay. What a historic day for Egypt, exclamation point. The people of Egypt made the regime step down. 3 exclamation points. Now they can enjoy the freedom they deserve. I'm surprised, Kim, D-listed writing, I'm surprised Kim didn't also tweet, now they're free to watch Courtney and Kim take New York only on E! On Sunday nights, and they're free to buy my new fragrance. Yeah, whatever.
Well, okay. She'd had more characters there. She
well, what about Ann Coulter talking about the Egyptian situation?
What did she say?
At the CPAC thing. She said, someone said, you know, what do you think about... you don't go, she said, you don't go around disturbing countries where you have a loyal ally.
Ah, it's and just then, a disturbance.
Yeah.
And just a little kerfuffle in Cairo.
And the woman said, well, what's more important, though, to American values, being friends with Israel still or knowing there are jailed dissidents and journalists in Egypt? And Ann Coulter said, what do you mean knowing that there are jailed journalists? I think there should be more jailed journalists.
She's a
and
peach.
And this prompted a huge round of applause by
oh,
the crowd.
Oh, isn't that great?
Jailed journalists.
Oh, by the way, D-listed writing, in case you're wondering, sadly, Snooki was a meeting with at the UN all day, and so was unavailable to give her thoughts on Egypt.
Her face slid
that's
off.
That's kind of a gaping hole in the hole.
The shine on her face, just she slid right off her chair.
Oh, no. We have to send our thoughts and prayers out to Liz Taylor. She remained in an L.A. hospital on Saturday for treatment of congestive heart failure. She is nearly indestructible, isn't she? She's had near-fatal bouts with pneumonia in 61 and 1990. Both her hip joints were replaced in 94 and 95. She's battled ulcers, amoebic dysentery, bursitis, and had a benign brain tumor removed in 1997.
Man.
And she's still hanging in there. Yikes. Only Dick Cheney has more fake parts, doesn't he? Dick Cheney he's like a cyborg at this point.
Pretty much.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I wouldn't have sex with
Stephanie Miller.
She's disgusting.
Not when you're drunk, she's not.
Oh, too true. Ooh, can I say that out loud?
Edie. Excuse me.
The mic on?
You kiss and tell her.
What?
34 minutes after the hour, we are in the midst of the Mondays with McClurg. Jim, Lindsay Lohan has tweeted again. She has some further thoughts on the Egyptian situation. I pray Egypt maintains its treaty with Israel and sets the trend for its neighbors to create peace with Israel and the entire region. D-listed writing, CNN can stop their coverage now that the Christine Amanpour of the crack house has spoken. Yes, I'm sure she has a very fine understanding of the whole peace treaty situation and the interconnection of countries in the Middle East.
Well,
okay.
She knows where Egypt is on a map, I think, unlike Fox News.
Oh, did you cover the Fox News insider who was
Yes, we had Eric Bollard on this morning who broke that story. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, that was quite a shock to all of us. What? It's a Republican Party platform, basically? What? I didn't know. The superficial writing, Sarah Palin defends Christina Aguilera. Oh, dear God. Because apparently they're in the business of publicizing clear and obvious bullshit. this week. Us Magazine ran a story claiming Sarah Palin said Christina Aguilera should be deported for flubbing the national anthem. Turns out they cited a fake interview with a satire site. You know how that can get you, Chris, if you don't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In the meantime, they've since spoken with Palin. She said, I had no interview with Sean Hannity, and I never bashed Christina. In fact, I've defended her by telling folks to back off the criticism of her mistake. I was telling my kids right after her national anthem issue blew up that people need to lay off her mistake. And the super official writes, while I'm entirely positive Sarah Palin did not tell her kids people should lay off Christina, but instead fired a shotgun into the television once it had been sullied by an incorrectly sung national anthem. This is actually a classy move on her part, considering criticizing Hollywood is exactly the type of red meat Palin could have spoon-fed her base. So, see, I can say nice things about Republicans. They may be an anti-intellectual zealots kicking and screaming for a 1950s America that sucked for anyone that didn't have a wasp penis. But at the end of the day, they can sometimes not say stupid. So that's true. You know, she could have gotten in a Hollywood shot, I suppose.
Well, there was a producer, a record producer, who used to produce Aretha. And
yes.
He said that she was just, Christina was guilty of oversoling.
Oh, that's right. She was too caught up in the moment to actually remember the actual words.
And if everything is important, then nothing is important. He says you pick your places to soul it out.
Sure.
Not every phrase.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. By the way, Rick Santorum has learned the cost of attacking Sarah Palin. Did you hear about this little kerfluffle?
Can we pay to attack her?
He touched off a media firestorm with remarks that appeared to denigrate Palin, and the response from Palin and her supporters was swift and unforgiving. With Palin looming as a possible contender for the Republican nomination, oh, please, God.
No.
The question of how or whether to take her on is a delicate one for her fellow Republicans. In Santorum's case, he got into trouble he did a web interview with a sippy cup, that right-wing girl I'm on with. A web radio interview?
You can tell she's smart because she wears glasses.
Yeah.
Ah!
A web episode?
Asked why...
what is that when you do something
probably,
on
you know,
the web?
Jim, that is a Republican girl thing, isn't it? Sarah Palin, I know.
Get a pretty girl,
she's
put glasses on.
She's the dopiest candidate we've ever had. Let's put glasses on her.
She is smarter than Sarah Palin.
Okay. Asked why he thought Palin wasn't attending the Conservative Political Action Conference, he responded, I have a feeling she has some demands on her time, and a lot of them have financial benefit attached to them. Meow. He then added that Palin had other business opportunities as well as all these kids to look after as a mother, both of which have constraints on her time. Though Santorum later insisted otherwise, his comments seemed to imply Palin was more interested in cashing in on her celebrity than running for office.
Compute 13.
Yes. Yeah. Don't you love when a Republican gets caught speaking the truth about somebody like Carol Palin? There's a big explosion in the right. Yes.
Backlash on him.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah. His mention of her children only compounded the situation. Of course, Palin immediately went on Fox News. She didn't hold back, asserting she took particular offense to his suggestion that as a mother she had other responsibilities that he, as a father of seven, does not. She said, my kids don't hold me back from attending a conference. I will not call him the knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. Let his wife call him that instead. Within a day, Santorum was walking back his comments, as they tend to do. He ended an interview by declaring his love for Sarah Palin's Alaska, saying he is and his family watch it every week.
And you can see it from Russia.
Oh, boy.
I can see Sputnik from my house.
Yeah, she can... By the way, Edie, a huge hit last week, your reading of the Sarah Palin actual transcript about Egypt.
Oh, yes. Thank you, everyone who responded to that.
Yes. You had an eerie Palin-esque.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kim in Chicago. Hi, Kim.
Hi, guys.
Hiya.
I just got back from the Progressive Voices crew.
Oh, how was it? All our good buddies on it.
Oh, David Bender, amazing. Hal Sparks, amazing. I had dinner with Congressman Grayson and had long chats with him. And Bobby kind of, you know, did a drive-by, but he gave a great talk, a fantastic talk. And everybody was wonderful, except they were very old.
Oh, no.
Yes, and I silly me. I thought it was going to be a whole boat full of us, but we were about 100 out of maybe 2,500 people, and the other 2,400 were, if I had the medical device concession.
And from what I understand, when you guys docked in San Juan, Puerto Rico, the gay crews docked right next to you, and those boys were all over Hal Sparks.
Yeah, what else is new?
5,200.
Gay men. Wow.
Yeah. They must. Christmas came early. Like, they're like, it's Hal Sparks in the next boat.
And David was a little, you know, miffed because he, you know, was being chopped livered.
Well,
because
he's actually gay and Hal's not, so that sucks to be him. I know.
But
I know.
It was funny because all of a sudden on the streets of San Juan, there was a lot more men with really inappropriately short shorts on. But it was wonderful.
Right.
The weather was fantastic, and it was great.
Great. Thanks, Kim. Thanks for the report.
Guys.
All right. Bye-bye now.
All those guys, and they're unavailable to us.
Oh,
they're
poor
so
David Bender. That is... See, I know what it's like to go out with the Hal Sparks. You can't get any attention.
I know.
It's
He's
horrible.
Prettier than we are.
Exactly. All right. Edie, some good news broke this morning. Representative Gabrielle Giffords can walk while holding onto a cart, mouth the lyrics to easy songs, and have simple conversations, according
That's
to family.
Amazing.
I bet she knows the lyrics to the national anthem better than...
Yeah, better than Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
How about that?
I bet so. My gosh.
I love this story. Her husband said she's trying so hard. Her speech therapist, who only a few days ago was trying to get her to talk more, is now asking her to slow down. She's typical politician. Rock on, my sister.
Good for her.
And I love this story. You never thought, like, George Bush would be good for anything? Kelly spoke of a time the therapist had three cards on the table, one with a picture of George Bush, one with a picture of President Obama, one with an image of George Washington. Before she was asked a question, she picked up a card and held it up and said George Bush. See, people still have visceral reactions. George Bush! Slowly I turn! Newman! See? He's speeding her recovery, Jim. He's good for something.
Yeah. Really
got too
response.
Much for surplus. Means you're paying too much tax.
Niagara Falls.
Giffords' mother said that Giffords has been doing squats and repetitive motion. She's doing P90X, for God's sakes. What the hell is going on? She's been doing squats and repetitive motion to build her muscles and walking through the hospital's halls while holding a cart.
Wow.
She said she had beaten one of her nurses at tic-tac-toe.
And I'd just like you to stop after beating one of her nurses.
And she is...
Wow.
All right.
Anyway, hooray for her. What a... Yay. It's a happy story.
It is a good story.
Oh, dear God. On the other side, we have... boy. The guy that... What's his name? The head of the NRA? Wayne LaPierre.
Yeah.
On the Tucson shootings. Government policies are getting us killed.
Ah.
Say what?
He's the head of the NRA. Delivered
not
a
bullets.
Fiery address at CPAC. Saying guns are not to blame for the... Of course not. Shooting rampage in Tucson. Rather, the government is. He criticized gun-free zones and anti-self-defense laws that protected the safety of no one except the killers, and said that by its lies and laws of lack of law enforcement, government policies are getting us killed, imprisoning us in a society of terrifying violence. He said, these clowns want to ban magazines. Are you kidding me? But that's their response to the blizzard of violence and mayhem affecting our nation.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, that seems like a kind
30
of a...
bullets in a pack at a time.
Someone pointing out his narrative, of course, absurd on his face. The Safeway parking lot where the shootings occurred was not a gun-free zone, and in fact, one bystander was armed and almost shot the wrong person as he attempted to intervene. Arizona, of course, has some of the most lax gun laws in the nation. It's unclear how even more guns would have saved lives. By the way, one of the clowns calling for a ban on these assault magazines is Kelly O'Brien, the fiance of Gabe Zimmerman, who died in the attack. She said the man who killed Gabe and five other people fired 31 shots in 15 seconds. That's two shots every second. 10 bullets are more than enough for self-defense, which is why most people own handguns. So that would be one of the clowns that the head of the NRA was talking about. Nancy Pelosi talking about what else the Republican Party is up to. The most comprehensive and radical assault on women's health in our lifetime. And I feel like only Rachel Maddow's really been covering this. She characterized the GOP's recent legislative effort to restrict access to abortion and contraception as the most comprehensive radical assault on women's health in our lifetime, promising to wage a campaign against the effort. She was referring to the what they're calling the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, which is ironic because there already is no taxpayer funding for abortion, but they passed an act to, you know.
Solidify that.
Yes, as well as the Protect Life Act. as well as separate members to eliminate federal funding for family planning. She said they're proposing raising taxes on small business. Under current law, women can buy insurance that covers a full range of reproductive health care. Under the Republican plan, women in private plans can't use their private money to purchase a full range of reproductive health care, effectively taking away the right of women to spend their own money on health care they choose. Small businesses that receive tax credits for employees will lose their tax credit if they choose a full range of plans that cover women's health. I think on all the, with all the other awful things they're doing, there hasn't been enough focus on that particularly awful thing.
It's a horrible thing, and it's the old keeping barefoot and pregnant idea that it makes me sick on my stomach.
I know it does, Edie McClurg. I know, because you fought for these issues for many years.
Many years, repeatedly.
Yep. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, the waning moments of Mondays with McClurg, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering, it's soul-changing, it's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What an extravaganza we have tomorrow. Representative Loretta Sanchez, Representative Barbara Lee, Charlie Pierce, and Ron Reagan all on tomorrow's Big Show.
Big Show.
Wow.
We are, but we live in the moment with Mondays with Edie McClurg, which is a delightful confection. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Linda in Asheville, North Carolina, you're on with Edie.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
I'm calling. My congressman is Heath Shuler, and you might remember that he tried to run for the leadership against Nancy Pelosi. Now, here's a guy who is pro-life. He's supporting H3. But like most politicians, he packs heat instead of common sense. He will not come out with a common sense gun control law. So since Gabby Gifford took a bullet in her head, we've had about 1,000 people die every day because a report showed that about 35 people a day get killed because of gun violence. I mean, this is the hypocrisy, and all these right-to-lifers, at the same time that, you know, they want to, they stop taking care of the baby once it's born. Then you're on your own. You don't have any health care. You have sucky schools, poor opportunities, and it just makes me so mad.
Welcome to Teabaggy America. Hooray. Hooray.
She did misspeak there, though. She said Kathy Gifford. She didn't mean Kathy Lee Gifford.
Yes. Okay, Dave. And let's not start any new rumors. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama. These people that love to create a crisis that doesn't exist, you know, we don't want the federal government paying for abortions when it does in the first place. I bet if we did a study of these people and the things that they've been on top of all of their lives, these are the same people that believe that the moonwalk never happened. How could it have happened? And also the ones, remember Paul Mollett was going through all these things a few years ago about, oh, your symbol is evil and satanic, and it really wasn't. So, I mean, they love to create rumor and, panic, where it really doesn't even exist because there are enough slow people that will read the Inquirer that want to go along with that.
Yes, well, we're trying to throw them off our whole, you know, caliphate plan. You and I and the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm sorry, that's the thing we don't say.
The Muslim Sisterhood. They're really powerful.
Jim, did you see the boner on Meet the Press? He said Americans have a right to think what they want to think, even if they're wrong about President Obama's religion and citizenship.
Well, it's not for me to correct him. Just be the Speaker of the House and all.
When David Gregory asked Boner whether he, as Speaker of the House, had a responsibility to stand up to that kind of ignorance, Boner said, "It's not my job.
I worked at a tavern.
My job was at a tavern. To tell the American people what to think. Our job in Washington is to listen to the American people.
Our job in Washington is to get paychecks from the tobacco lobby. I meant.
Boner denied he is willing to let those misperceptions remain because they weaken and delegitimize Obama. Yes, of course not. That's ridiculous. Why would anybody think that? Hell no, you can't accuse him of that. What?
Hell no, you can't!
Wow. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McLiplis declared Saturday President Obama's legislative agenda is over. Wow. What? I thought Slow and Steady won the race, but I guess it's all over. Yertl says it's over, huh. Jim. It's, yeah, it's done.
Right. It's all, it's all taken care of. There's really no need to do anything except sit in your terrarium and eat lettuce.
In a speech Saturday night to a Republican crowd in his hometown.
He always looks like a turtle himself yeah. when he does that. Boy, I love it.
Oh, you want to see a turtle face? Yeah. We got to do the lip. It's very well suited for biting into a head of lettuce, but not much else. Especially not talking in any kind of coherent manner.
He derided Obama for performing Clintonian backflips to portray himself as a moderate, but said it's yet to be seen whether the new tone is rhetoric or reality. He has in the past, of course, touted his ability to ping federal spending home to Kentucky. Pork!
Yeah.
Pork! Took a hard line on cutting federal spending. Blah, 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 blah. So the president's new budget comes out today, I believe. The
Families across this country understand what it takes to manage a budget. They understand what it takes to make ends meet without foregoing important investments like education. Well, it's time Washington acted as responsibly as our families do. And on Monday, I'm proposing a new budget that will help us live within our means while investing in our future.
It is a $3 trillion plus budget for 2012 that promises $1.1 trillion in deficit reduction over the next decade by freezing domestic programs for some domestic programs for 5 years, trimming military spending and limiting tax deductions for the wealthy. His budget director said Wednesday the new spending plan for 2012 would disprove the notion that we can do this painlessly. We are going to make tough choices. Republicans, of course, rejected the appraisal.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they don't want any spending in education, public works, research. And say Obama's cuts are not deep enough. The Boner said on Meet the Press he's going to present a budget that will continue to destroy jobs by spending too much, borrowing too much, taxing too much. Senator Orrin Hatch.
Next week, a great debate will begin. The president will send his budget to Congress, and once more, Americans will face a time for choosing. Do we accept a future where our children and grandchildren are left holding trillions in IOUs?
Mm.
Or do we get our fiscal house in order, cut spending, and reduce tax burdens on all Americans?
Did Orrin Hatch just recently discover a love for his grandchildren? Because I didn't hear a peep about that during the Bush years.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to care about the IOUs from the, you know, tax cuts to the rich, unnecessary wars, things like that. Maybe, you know, some families, maybe they fell out of touch for a while.
Well,
maybe he didn't speak to his grandchildren during the Bush years, and now he suddenly went, what?
He's really now concerned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sarah Palin has hired a chief of staff, which means that she is one of the biggest indicators she is leaning toward a run for the White House. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, comedy gods and political gods. Oh, please. Yes, please.
What is the what are the requirements for a Palin chief of staff? What do you think?
You know, that's
being
a good
able
question.
To see Russia from your house.
Good babysitter. I need a good babysitter.
Oh, boy.
I need somebody to take over my job when I quit.
So we're having Ron Reagan Jr. on tomorrow. Yet another Reagan official. We've said that Reagan would get teabagged right out of the Republican Party today. Bruce Fine, Ronald Reagan's former associate deputy attorney general, published a letter in the New York Times castigating Justice Antonin Scalia for speaking to a backroom meeting organized by the House Tea Party Caucus. He said Justice Scalia galloped beyond the farthest boundaries of judicial propriety in a secretly meeting on Capitol Hill to discuss the Constitution with Tea Party members of Congress saddled with a co-equal duty to assess the constitutionality of legislative action. If there are better ways to destroy public confidence in judicial impartiality, they do not readily come to mind. Yeah, I thought we were the only ones saying, is this proper? Is this been done? They're talking about how Scalia and his colleague Clarence Thomas both attended, the Koch brothers. Mm-hmm. Fundraisers. Likewise, Justice Alito, a prolific fundraiser for right-wing political causes. And, of course, Justice Thomas's wife, the drunk dialing Ginny Thomas, may have found a way to get rich off her husband's judicial decisions.
Things go better with Coke, I guess.
Yes, this is our impartial Supreme Court these days, kids. All right, that's it for us. Thank you, Edie McClurg.
Yoo-hoo, and goodbye.
Exactly. Join us for the big, it's an extravaganza tomorrow, beyond all proportion.
I'll be listening.
Thank you. Tune in, please, tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.